As you came into the church today, were you thankful? Were you thankful, or what were you thinking? You know, I have to admit, being the pastor, and when I arrived here this morning at 6:30 in the morning, you know, I am not a morning person, so my mind doesn't work real well in the morning. But when I get here, I'm thinking about the 101 things I need to do before I get up in front of you and speak and preach God's word. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about that, and okay, I looked up online to see if the Cougars won last night. That's just because I didn't listen to the game, but I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of times my mind is nowhere close to where it should be when I come into this place and prepare to worship and to prepare to bring God's word to you. And especially as we come in again to the month of November, and we think about the concept of giving, I have to stop again and think, okay, am I being a thankful person? Am I thankful for life, for what's going on around me? Am I focusing on the things that God is doing for me? Or is my focus on the things that I think I should have and I think I should be doing? And I think, is it on me? Is my focus on me and all the things that maybe I think I don't have that I should have? I want to open our season of Thanksgiving this year with a psalm that I pretty much open every season of Thanksgiving with, because it's a great psalm of Thanksgiving. It's Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and we're just going to be parked there all day. Well, not all day, for the next 10 minutes, anyway. Which to some of you, that might seem like all day. But and we're going to look at that, because in this psalm, the psalmist not only tells us how it is that we are to approach God, but why we should be that way. And so we're going to be looking at that. Before I get started, though, I just want to ask the Lord to just speak to each and every one of us. Just pray. Father, it's been such a great service already. Lord, I thank you for the voices that you have placed in this church that are willing to come up and to lead us in worship and praise of you, Lord. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have in a country that we are free to come and worship you. Lord, I pray that as we look at this psalm of thanksgiving, the psalm of praise, the psalm of worship, Lord, speak to our hearts. Father, help us to see the reasons that we have for praise and for thanksgiving. Lord, speak to us. Challenge us. Lord, there isn't anyone here this morning that has it all together, that has it all right, that does everything right. Lord, speak to us through your word. Help us to grow in you and to be more like the people that you desire for us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alan, I thank you again for your words. I just hate sitting. I thank you for not having a stand up and look forward. Steve, I'm sorry you had a stand and look forward, you know. But all I can say is, if I'm the father, then I better take some parenting classes, okay? Because I don't feel necessarily worthy for that. But thank you. I do appreciate that. And I did think of a few things that you could have said, you know, like humility and stuff like that, you know, that might have helped you out if you'd asked. But, thank you very much. On behalf of Steve, Dean, and myself, it is a privilege and an honor to serve. It really is, and you have been such a wonderful church body for Melissa and I, and for the kids, you know, I want to thank you for what you do. But okay, enough. It's in the top, whatever that's called. Psalm 100, a great psalm. A short psalm. It's one that actually you can be very easy to memorize. It's only 5 verses long, so there shouldn't be much of an issue with you memorizing that. And I'm just going to kind of go through and challenge you with this psalm. First of all, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And they read, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing." Now, I had to stop there because one of the things that, I guess I was just raised this way. But now, my folks were very devout Christians, and so we attended a Baptist church. And maybe this is just a Baptist thing or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, when we went to church, it was, I mean, like you could hear a pin drop. Was so quiet, and, you know. And here the psalmist says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." You know, do we ever stop and shout joyfully to the Lord for what He's done? Now, I can wager to say, again, I didn't go, but last night at the ball game, I can imagine there were some people that are shouting joyfully to the Cougars. At least through the first half, three quarters, I don't know how long it lasted. Dean will give you a blow-by-blow thing on it, because I think he was there in the rain. Why go in the rain and do that? I do not know. But anyway, you know, I'm sure there were shouts of joy for the touchdowns and for the field goals and for interceptions and for whatever it was that people were shouting. And I did listen a little bit on the radio, and it was just, the stadium was just alive, especially when the Cougs were playing defense, because they were making noise, and you know, they were excited about that. And I think how sad it is that we can get so excited about one football game that in the grand scheme of things, now remember, I'm not talking as a Cougar, but in the grand scheme of things, doesn't mean anything. That if they had won that game, great. They would have a better, you know, they would be doing better. But if they lost that game, there's always next week. You know, what does it mean? And yet we expend so many. Now, don't get me wrong, I love sports. I went to Oregon State football game last weekend. There was no shouting for joy at the Oregon State football game. It was dismal, but I went. And I had a great time with my brothers, joking about all the stupid things that go on at football games and trying to figure out how we can shorten TV timeouts. And I have a great idea. In the stadium, during the TV center, show the commercial on the big screen. And then at least we have something to do during TV timeouts. But, you know, there's no joy there. So, but don't get me wrong, I love sports, and I like going to sports. I go to many games and stuff like that. But stop to think about it. We yell for joy at a ball game. That doesn't mean anything to us. It may give us a little joy for a while, but it's fleeting. Doesn't save us, doesn't feed us, doesn't house us, doesn't clothe us. Put clothes on us. Doesn't do any of those things. And we're jumping up and down happy when something good happens. And yet when it comes to God, the one who does take care of us, the one who does feed us, the one who does put roofs over our house and clothes on our back, when it comes to a God who sends rain to nourish the earth, we're silent. We're silent. Now, I do understand there is this thing of awe and respect for God. And there is that time when we need to bow or kneel before God in absolute silence. But you know, there's that time too when we need to raise our voice and say, praise the Lord. For He is God. He does great things. He does wonderful things. And the Psalms, and again, and it's time and time again, and Adam, these aren't on there, so don't try to look at them. Psalms 95:1, it says, oh come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 98:4 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Psalm 98:6, with trumpets. Pray, you play a trumpet. And there's, who else wears, who plays a trumpet? Who plays a trumpet? Dean? Okay, listen up. Okay, good. Mark plays a trumpet too. So, anyway. And, no, I'm not just picking on, I play a trumpet too. But I'm happy. So, we're safe. But, you know, trumpet blast. I love trumpet. I just love the sound of it. I just love because it just, it pierces the air with good notes. And it just, you know, with trumpet and with the sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Wow. Boy, is that how we enter the house of God? With this excitement, with this joyfulness, with this anticipation for what's going to happen here. Because we are coming into the presence of the Almighty God. Then the psalmist goes on, and he says in verse 3, know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now this is a great verse. Because one of the things it tells us is that the position of God is already filled. You don't need to apply. Because know that the Lord is God. There's only one. There's only one. And you're not it. I'm not it. No one's it. Except God Himself. And then it says two important things about Him. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. God is Creator. He made us. He made us. He created us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. God created us. And then it goes and says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So in other words, He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Well, a shepherd takes care of the sheep. In fact, the shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. But let's just briefly go, and we're just going to read through it, the 23rd Psalm. Because it tells us about the Lord, our shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm sure a lot of you have felt at times that you're going through that valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, how many times do we think my cup is overflowing? Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can be thankful as we enter this place. Maybe you had a tough week, you know? If I could be remember my week, I could tell you whether it was good or bad. You know, but we had relatives visiting, so Nancy just, I'm just so happy you came all the way from Alaska to see us. But I have a God who, no matter what I'm going through, is there. No matter what enemies are around me, he's with me. He's got a rod and a staff, and that's what he uses to defend me. But that's also what he uses to discipline me, which is a good thing. We have a God who is always with us. That is something to be thankful for. We have a God who is constantly taking care of us. That is something to be thankful for. That is something to be joyful about. Then the psalmist goes in, he says, comes back to our response. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Again, when we enter his house, what are we doing? Are we even thinking about church? Are we even thinking about God? Are we even thinking about what it is that we are doing? Or has it become such a tradition for us, or such a habit for us, that we're almost mindless when we come into this place? Not being excited to experience God and to fellowship with other believers and to raise our voice in praise of Him. We're just here waiting for it to get done so we can go home again. What is our attitude? When we come, do we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise? Do we give thanks to him and bless his name? Then verse 5, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. The Lord is good. He is in very nature good. We have a good God. We have a Lord who loves us and wants to give good things to us, and wants to bless us, and wants to take care of us, and wants to help us grow and be nurtured. We have a good Lord in charge of us. And the thing that's really neat about our God, it says, his loving kindness is everlasting. How long is everlasting? How long is everlasting? This is something I do not ponder when I go to bed at night, because it bugs me. Because I don't know. I can't imagine something that is everlasting. Something that doesn't end. It doesn't end. Because everything I know has an end. You know? I had parents, and they had an end to their life, and they're no longer with me. You know, everything I know has an end, but God does not. And neither does his love towards me and his love towards you. There's no end to it. He's not going to change. He's not going to decide tomorrow that, oh, you know, I think I'm going to be the God of anger and, you know, beat us up. Wow. He is constant, always the same, and it will never change. And his faithfulness to all generations, not just to the people that this psalm, that first read this psalm, but to us, and to our kids, and to our grandkids, and great-grandkids, and so on, until the Lord comes and we're with him. His faithfulness to us will never end. That's something to get excited about. That's something to be thankful for. That's something that we can look at, and no matter what's going on in our life, we can look to the fact that God loves me and he always will. And that's never going to change. So as we approach the month of November, as we approach this season that we generally give thanks because of the holiday that was declared by a president many years ago. You know, we shouldn't need to have a holiday to give thanks. It should happen every day. It should happen all the time. We don't need to come to church to give thanks. We should be giving thanks in our homes. We should be giving thanks at our jobs. As we do our everyday life, we should be living our life in the attitude of thanks. Because we have a God who created us, who sustains us, who is our shepherd, who cares for us, and He always will be doing that from now until we are with Him in glory and then beyond. I'm going to have the praise team come back up, and we're going to participate this morning in the Lord's Supper, which is a supper that, again, reminds us of something that we can be thankful for, that we have a Savior, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that Jesus Christ paid the price that I could not pay. And because of what He has done, I have salvation, full and free. Again, a reason to be joyful, a reason to give thanks, a reason to praise the Lord. You want to invite the deacons to come down and join me? I do invite all of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to join us as we partake in the Lord's Supper. It's not just for the members of First Baptist Church, it's for all who believe. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, starting verse 23, these words, "For I received from the Lord what that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" Let's pray. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, You have provided us with food, with housing, with jobs, with a family. But most of all, Lord, You have provided for us salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we participate in the Lord's Supper this morning, Father, I pray that You would search our hearts, that You would show us the things in our lives that are displeasing to You, so that we may partake in the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Father, thank You for this opportunity we have to remember that Jesus Christ has done for us. And we pray this in His name.